This strange phenomenon moved SW to NW. It seems to be not half a mile up in the sky over Somerset Gardens, London, where I watched it. A white clear light like a flame was emitted from its head and body. The color of the flame was like sulfur. Next year, on July 14, 1745, an identical cosmic visitant was seen at 8 p.m. by a parson at Stanlake Broad, Norfolk, Eng. All the data suggests strongly that here was some extraterrestrial machine. But the most amazing report of all was made by a fellow of the British Royal Society going home from a meeting of the Society, in the evening of December 16, 1742. It was a year after the globe of fire had been seen over Peckham, London. As this man entered St. James's Park, London, he was startled to see, suddenly rise above the trees of the park a weird apparition. There is what he said. A sudden light rose from behind the trees and houses to the south and west, which at first I thought was a rocket of large size. But when it rose 20 degrees, above the skyline, it moved parallel to the horizon, and moved like this. He drew an undulating line. It went on in the direction of north by east. It seemed very near, but its motion was slow. A light flame was turned backward by the resistance of air made to its passage. From one end, the strange object emitted a bright glare and fire like that of burning charcoal. That end was like a frame made of bars of iron. It was quite opaque to my sight. At one point on the longitudinal frame, or cylinder, issued a train of light more bright at one point, on the rod or frame, than it was at the end, where it was transparent for more than half its length. The head of this strange object seemed about half a degree in diameter, and the tail 3 degrees in length. The observer signed himself merely C.M. He may, like some Americans in our day, not have cared to risk the scoffing of the armchair cynics and skeptics. Another mystery took the form of a strange rolling cloud in whose center glowed a remarkable sphere of fire. This phenomenon came across the quiet countryside northwest of Newry, County Down, Ireland, at 12 noon on January 1, 1751. Two men who saw it believed that the end of the world was near at hand. Here is the report of an observer. This strange body of fire came across country for 15 miles, after two men had seen the terrifying thing rise, at 12 noon, off the mountains of Mourne, near Newry. The fire appeared in a cloud reaching through the sky to the ground. It was, or appeared, 6 yards square, and its forward motion was very slow, so very slow that any person who had presence of mind might have gone out of its way. Its course was direct. And it turned continually around like a whirlwind, giving out a great noise in the air, and a smell like sulfur. Trees in an orchard were split from top to bottom, roofs lifted off dwelling houses, and a woman killed in the highway. Surely, here was a mystery that would have warmed the heart of that sardonic humorist, the late Charles Fort, who did so much of his research in the British Museum at Bloomsbury. But what on earth or in the sky was it? No meteor ever moved at this slow rate of locomotion, with a rotary action. People at Cologne, Germany, and Edinburgh, saw a strange phenomenon on March 10, 1756. In a clear sky, at from 7 to 8 p.m. there appeared a pencil of light. It shone like what we should today call the emission of exhaust and incandescent gases, the motor being a tail facing toward the north. It remained stationary for about an hour. Then it vanished with neither sparks, smoke or emission of gases. The same visitant had appeared over Avignon, France at 6:10 p.m. What looked like a football of immense size seemed to descend from the sky over Colchester, England, at 8 p.m., on December 31, 1758. It vanished like a squib without a report. Machines like cones now began to appear in the night skies. At Edinburgh, Scotland, one swam into the sky at 9 p.m. on November 26, 1758. Its velocity was very great. Sparks came from it as it passed, and so powerful a light was projected that the most minute object could be seen in the streets. The same machine appeared over Glasgow as a globe of fire like a full moon. It seemed to divide into three parts, and then ascended through the atmosphere. Edinburgh had another bad shock at 9 p.m. on August 18, 1783, when there suddenly appeared in the sky a globe of fire of uncommon magnitude. Its speed was immense and it had a rotary motion about its axis. It was like a sphere with a cone for a tail. The cone may have been the exhaust emission of gases. Terrified people, looking up into the sky, heard come from it a sound like the working of a powerful motors. Glasgow saw the strange object 2 nights later. Down south at Greenwich, near the famous observatory, but 12 days later, at 9:11 p.m., on August 30, 1783, the same great ball appeared in the sky, but now it was seen to have a consort sphere. Its motion was not rapid, but the light it emitted was astounding in its brilliance. It went SSE. In 1785, 2 years later, on December 26, at 9 p.m. an identical blazing sphere was seen over Edinburgh, Dublin, Newcastle-on-Tyne, Plymouth and Chelsea, London. Astronomers of that day were set searching their records and they found that for 7 hours in 1716 the same type of cosmic machine had been seen all over England. It was, be it noted, visible for 7 hours. It was seen to be brilliantly colored and to emit a pure light. New England, USA had a turn on May 10, 1760, when a most remarkable object, like a blazing sphere, appeared in the broad light of day. Over Roxbury and Bridgewater the thing went round in a circle and a noise as if working machinery came from it. It threw out so powerful a light that even in strong sunshine it cast a shadow. The circle over which it flew had a diameter of 80 miles. In 1762 and 1764, Oxford, England, was startled by lights like a blazing arch in the sky from 8 to 10 p.m. In 1766 London was startled by the same mysterious arch. At Oxford an old college don named Swinton, who spent 1.5 hours watching this light from the quadrangle of Christ's Church College, swore that he had seen nothing like it in his life and was positive it was not the Aurora Borealis. Into the streets of Bideford, Devon, on December 5, 1762, terrified people poured at 8:50 p.m. to look at a large body in the sky like a twisting serpent, which descended slowly in the sky and from which shone a dazzling light. It was like a sun and lit up the dark streets with a moontide blaze. It seemed to go out by degrees as though the light had been turned off. Twice in the 18th century there appeared in the skies of Old England and Scotland a strange body like a house on fire. It was seen for an hour over Oxford, on the night of October 24, 1769. The whole hemisphere of the sky seemed to blaze. London and Windsor Castle saw it. Tiberius Cavallo, F.R.S. watched a cosmic body, like this, from the terrace of the Royal Castle. It was first stationary and appeared oblong. Then it moved, emitting prodigious light. It vanished to the southeast, lighting up the sky like day. It jetted gases from a tail and there came a rumble like an explosion. At first it moved horizontally to the horizon, then vertically, ascending. It was seen at York, about 180 miles north, where horses in fields trembled at the glare it throughout. A church dignitary there heard two great explosions. It was later seen over Ireland, where it now assumed the form of a parabolic body with a vividly red and blue luminous tail. But this strange body, like a house on fire in the sky, had been seen 2 years earlier, in September 1767 at Cooper Angus, Scotland, and in most startling a guise, said a very old and rare Scottish magazine. Over the water near Cooper Angus there came a thick dark smoke, which rose to reveal a large luminous body like a house on fire. It took a pyramidal form, rolled forward with great impetuosity and rushed up the River Erwick with great speed. It carried away a large cart, lifted in the air a man riding a horse, stunned him, and cut a house in a half, as well as destroying an arch of a new bridge. Then it vanished. In 1775 there appeared in the sky at 8:30 p.m. on May 8, a strange ball of light with a slow motion. It shone like the full moon and passed over Waltham Abbey, Hertfordshire. Our ancestors in the 18th century and earlier were not exactly all fools or visionaries as many modern scientists imply. It is hoped that these comparative observations at widely separated dates may convince some of the authenticity of the reports. On September 10, 1798, at 11:40 p.m. a body shaped like an apothecary's pestle, or cylinder, suddenly appeared out of a cloud over the town of Alnwick, Northumberland. It was seen by a schoolmaster and another man. It went in and out of the cloud, and then a small, narrow, but long, streamer seemed to cut the pestle below its center. A cloud again hid it, and when the strange object reappeared, it looked like a hammer, and the streamer had assumed two horns or prongs, like those of a fork. Again a cloud hid it. This time, it reappeared with the form of two half-moons, back to back, with a short thick luminous stream of some radiant energy flowing between the two globes. At each reappearance, the phenomenon became more brilliant until the stars in the sky looked like mere specks. It was visible for 5 minutes and then vanished as suddenly as it had appeared. I have not space to enumerate the many occasions in the 18th century, and in 1811 when in the sky over various parts of England and over Armagh, Ireland, strange bright searchlights swept the sky. In 1811, people in Northern Ireland were so struck with these lights in the sky that they sent for fire engines. It may be noted that searchlights using acetylene, or other sources of illumination, were not known or used till a late date in the 19th century. On the morning of August 12, 1883, Señor José A. Y. Bonilla, director of the Astronomical Observatory of Zacatecas, Mexico, was investigating sunspots when he was amazed to see par, apparently across the solar disk, a small luminous body. Hardly had he recovered from his surprise when he was startled to see a succession of these same singular bodies passing over the solar disk. In 2 hours he counted 283 of them. Then clouds interrupted the view. Some were dark and black, others perfectly round. They were traveling from east to west. Actually, they were all luminous bodies, but their light was absorbed by the actinic ray of the sun as they appeared to cross its disk. In point of fact, these mysterious travelers of outer space were traversing the vault of space between the moon and the earth. On the following morning, he counted 1,166 of these mysterious bodies still apparently crossing the solar disk. What were these strange cosmic objects? Only a fraction of what had ever appearance of being an interplanetary army or fleet of some thousands of spaceships were seen voyaging between the Earth and the Moon far out in space. On August 12 and 13, 1883, Camille Flammarion, the famous French astronomer, who saw the photographs made by Señor Bonilla, was mystified. He tentatively suggested insects, birds, or dust particles in the upper atmosphere. But Bonilla did not agree. One thing is clear: these bodies, whatever they may have been or from whence they came, had, like many of the so-called flying saucers, no hostile intention regarding our own planet. Again on March 22, 1880, at Kattenau, Germany, about dawn, says Nature, London, Eng. Scientific Journal. An enormous number of luminous bodies rose from the horizon and passed in a horizontal direction from east to west. They appeared in a zone or belt and shone with a remarkably brilliant light. I have no space here to cite the numerous strange objects seen in the skies over land and sea in all parts of the world between 1830 and 1914. I can only refer briefly to a few occasions, one at Chisbury, Wilts, England, another above Fort Worth, Texas, when a strange shadow was seen on the surface of the clouds. It was cast by some unseen body about the clouds. 1852, globes of light seen in the air over Schwabia, SW Bavaria, or Bayern, Germany, on May 22. 1877, March 23. Dazzling balls of fire appeared from a cloud, and moved slowly over Venice, France. Visible for more than 1 hour. Similar balls seen in sky over Venice 8 or 10 years before. October 5. Mysterious balls like electric lights seen over West Wales coast. They appeared and vanished suddenly. High velocity. 1880, July 30th. At night, in a ravine near St. Petersburg, now Leningrad, Russia, a large sphere and two smaller ones, all illuminated, seen for 3 minutes moving along a ravine. They vanished noiselessly. 1893, May 25th. Captain Charles J. Norcock, of HMS Caroline, saw globular lights for 2 hours in sky at 10 p.m. between Shanghai and Japan in East China Sea. These balls of light were also seen the same night for 7.5 hours by Captain Castle of HMS Leander. He changed the ship's course to chase them, but they fled from him. 1896. A U.S. postal clerk saw a round red light rise 100 feet over a train he was in at night, at Trenton, Maryland. It rose higher and went north. At first it outsped the train, then it fell behind. 1950, October 30th, from 10:50 to 11 p.m. two brilliant blue spherical lights traveled at a terrific speed over Devon, England, from north to south. They came inland from over the Bristol Channel. Numerous eyewitnesses included naval men at Devonport. December 2nd, in daytime, noiseless globes of fire vanished in a flash of light over Towyn, Merioneth, Wales. At Penzance, Cornwall, players in football matches stopped play to watch a long black object, with a flaming tail 4 miles long, rush across the sky. At Lou, East Cornwall, a blue light, like a sausage, rushed across the sky. December 7th, balls of light seen by farmers in Cumberland, England. All descriptions tally. Chapter 9. The Strange Foo Fighters. One of the most baffling mysteries of the Second World War were strange aerial apparitions in the shape of blazing balls which were encountered over Truk Lagoon, in the skies of Japan, the West Rhine area of Alsace-Lorraine and over the Bavarian Palatinate. They were met by U.S. night fighters pilots at night, by U.S. day bomber squadrons and by some British air pilots. These weird balls of fantastic and variable speeds glowed from an orange to red and white and back to orange and appear to have been sighted first at 10 p.m. on November 23, 1944, by a U.S. pilot in the area north of Strasbourg in Alsace-Lorraine. 3 nights later they were again seen by a U.S. pilot flying in the same area. Just before the Allies overran and captured the secret German experimental stations east of the Rhine, these balls vanished. But in no such station was the slightest clue discovered, even hinting that the Nazi technicians had invented and flown these mysterious blazing balls. Over Japan, Nipponese air pilots met the blazing balls and took them to be secret and mysterious aerial devices of the Americans or the Russians. On the other hand, equally mystified U.S. pilots supposed that the balls were a curious device thought up by Japan as a last-ditch expedient to stave off mass bombing raids. One pilot chatting in the mess with others who had met the balls on night flights, and had been ribbed by intelligence officers who heard their report, had a brain wave. "Let's call the so-and-so's Foo Fighters," he said. The name stuck. It seems to have been suggested by a comic strip in which one Smokey Stover said, "Yeah, if there's foo, there's fire." Probably the slang word foo is a corruption of the French word fer, or fire. A Foo Fighter was seen from the ground by Harold T. Wilkins on November 2, 1950. At 6:20 p.m. I went into the garden of this house at Bixley Heath, Kent, which stands on a low hill and had a commanding view of a region of Kent just 12 miles from Charing Cross, in central London. I merely sought a breath of fresh air and was looking for nothing. Glancing up casually into the starry sky, I suddenly saw a yellow luminous ball appear in the southern quadrant of the sky. It flew silently, with no gas or spark emission, on a level trajectory and at no great velocity. It vanished into a belt of cumulus cloud near the zenith. It did not reappear. Was no sort of balloon, weather or cosmic. Was no meteor, and no sort of pyrotechnic. Its altitude was about 2,500 feet up and it shone with lunar brilliancy. Next morning the London Daily Telegraph reported that on the same night but 1 hour and 40 minutes later people in the Hartsbucks border, some 25 miles west, were mystified by a strange orange light flashing across the sky and visible for some seconds. Some 30 miles west of the Hartsbucks border is the British Ministry of Supply's atomic station of Hartwell, Berks. Exactly 3 weeks earlier, October 12, 1950, a woman cycling from Gloucester City, England, reached the Barnwood suburb of the town when, as she told the local newspaper, "I was startled at 11:15 p.m. that night to see four lights, like huge stars, stationary over Barnwood. After a few moments their lights began to wink in and out. Two friends tell me they saw these lights that same night and they two of them moved over a hill about 2 miles away. I refuse to believe they were airplanes." It was at 10 p.m. on November 23, 1944, when Lieutenant Edward Schluter, U.S. pilot of the 415th Night Fighter Squadron, stationed at Dijon, in south-central France, took off from Dijon, on a routine patrol to intercept German planes west of the Rhine between Strasbourg and Mannheim. As the crow flies, he had to fly 150 miles on a patrol that would take him east over the Vosges Mountains, a very lonely, grim and isolated range buttressing there. Westward approaches to the Rhine. Schluter is a finely built man, the last word in aeronautical efficiency, and a very experienced night fighter of the Second World War. He is a native of Oshkosh, Wisconsin. With him, in the darkened cockpit of the plane, were the radar observer, Lieutenant David J. Mayes, and an intelligence officer, Lieutenant F. Ringwald. Nothing happened till their plane had crossed the Vosges and they had sighted the shining waters of the Rhine, rolling rapidly toward Mainz. The sky that night was clear, with light clouds. Visibility was good and the moon was in the first quarter. U.S. radar stations, covering all U.S. pilots in that area, had not notified the crew of any other plane in the sky. Some way to the east, Schluter could see the white steam jetted from the smokestack of a German freight locomotive, running in blackout conditions with firebox door clamped up and blinded. At this time, in 1944, Germany stood at bay and the Allies were closing in on her. Some 20 miles north of Strasbourg, Lieutenant Ringwald, the U.S. intelligence officer, glanced to the west and noticed 8 or 10 balls of red fire moving at an amazing velocity. They seemed to be in formation and could be seen clearly from the darkened cockpit of the U.S. night fighter. "Say," said Ringwald to Schluter, "look over there at the bright lights on those hills yonder. What are they?" Schluter: "Hell, buddy, there are no hills over there. I should say they were stars. You don't need me to tell you that it is not east to guess at the nature of lights on night flights. Not when they are distant, as these are." Ringwald: "Stars, do ye say? I don't reckon they are stars. Why, their speed is terrific." Schluter: "Maybe they are just reflections from our own plane. We are going pretty fast." Ringwald: "I am certain, absolutely sure, that those lights are not reflected from us." Schluter gazed hard at the lights. They were now off his port wing. He got into radio telephone with one of the ground radar stations. "There are about 10 Heine night fighters around here in the sky. Looks as if they are chasing us and their speed is high. I'll say it is." "U.S. radar station, you guys must be nuts. Nobody is up there but your own plane. Ain't seen things, are you?" Mayes in the plane glanced at the radarscope. No enemy planes showed up on the screen. Schluter now maneuvered the fighter for action and headed towards the lights. They were blazing red. Suddenly they seemed to vanish into thin air. 2 minutes later they reappeared, but now a long way off. It looked as if they were aware of being chased. 6 minutes later the balls did a glide, leveled out, and vanished. None of the occupants of the U.S. night fighter could make out what the red balls were. Schluter guessed they might be some German experimental devices like the red, green, blue, and white and yellow rockets that flashed up amid the flak of anti-aircraft batteries when a big enemy raid was on. But the bewildered night fighter pilots did not let this mystery spoil their mission. Lieutenant Schluter that night bombed hell out of 8 fast German freight trains on the Rhine railroads, back at the base at Dijon, knowing they would not be believed by intelligence higher-ups and might be charged with hallucinations and war neurosis. Schluter and his 2 companions said nothing. They made no report to base at Dijon. On November 27, 1944, another act in the Foo Fighter drama was staged. Lieutenant Henry Giblin, native of Santa Rosa, California, was flying a U.S. night fighter in the Alsace-Lorraine region, south of Mannheim am Rhein. He had with him Lieutenant Walter Clearly of Worcester, Mass., as radar observer. As they were approaching the German town of Speyer on the Rhine south of Mannheim, they got a shock. Some 1,500 feet above their own plane, a hell of a huge fierce fiery orange light shot across the night sky at an estimated speed of 250 miles per hour. Again, U.S. ground radar stations reported when called, no enemy machines in the vicinity. Only your own plane in the sky over there. Giblin and Cleary decided to say nothing to intelligence, fearing ridicule from higher quarters. It is not wise for a wartime flyer to take such a risk. Let someone else do the reporting. No other observations of queer things in the sky came the way of the U.S. 415th Night Fighter Squadron until 3 days before Christmas, 1944. On December 22, 1944, Lieutenant David McFalls, of Cliffside, NC, and Lieutenant Edward Baker, radar observer, of Hemet, California, were flying 10,000 feet just south of Hagenau in the old German Reichsland. Hagenau is 20 miles north of Strasbourg and 16 miles west of the Rhine. Here is the report of U.S. pilot Giblin. At 06:00, 6 p.m., near Hagenau, at 10,000 feet altitude, 2 very bright lights climbed toward us from the ground. They leveled off and stayed on the tail of our plane. They were huge bright orange lights. They stayed there for 2 minutes. On my tail all the time. They were under perfect control. Then they turn away from us, and the fire seemed to go out. On the night of December 24, 1944, McFalls and Baker had another amazing experience. Here is their report. A glowing red ball shot straight up at us. It suddenly changed into an airplane which did a wing over. Then it dived and disappeared. In 1947, Kenneth Ehlers, of the Landing Aids Experimental Station at Arcata, California, directed a C-47 pilot to fly of a certain location, because of the appearance on his radarscope of what are technically called discontinuities. There appeared to be 3 signals, denoting that 3 aircraft were passing over the airfield at Arcata. Yet, when the pilot reached the spot in the air, he saw nothing, nor did this instrument record any electrical reactions. So far in 1944, the pilots of the 415th Squadron had seen these weird balls at night, and despite the ridicule of higher-ups and the medical and psychiatric skeptics, other reports began to be made. In the Pacific Theater, pilots began to be warned before starting out on mission that if they met strange phenomena in the sky, they need not conclude that they were suffering from hysteria, war-induced neurosis, or hallucinations. Pilots talking warshop in the messes called the balls krauts, or kraut balls. British night fighter pilots thought the Foo Fighters were secret German experimental devices, perhaps intended to strike fear in a war of nerves. Some U.S. intelligence officers supposed they were radio-controlled objects sent up to baffle radar, in the same way of the foil window that was dropped to confuse the radar watchers. There is the case of a U.S. bomber pilot of the 8th U.S. Air Force. He reported that he saw 15 Foo Fighters following his plane at a distance, with their lights winking on and off. A U.S. P-47 pilot saw 15 Foo Fighters by day at or near Neustadt in the same Rhenish area, some 40 miles west of the Rhine and 55 miles northwest of Strasbourg. Here is his report. We were flying west of Neustadt when a golden sphere, which shone with a metallic glitter, appeared, slowly moving through the sky.